It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Decision Day in Old Dominion.
Let's bring this baby home!
This is no longer a campaign. This is a movement.
That is our top story this Tuesday. Election Day all across America, and the biggest race by far happening in Virginia. Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin will end their bids to become the state's next governor tonight.
Wake up, Virginia. Here we come. We get to stand up and say no to this left liberal progressive agenda that's trying to take us over.
I've beaten Trump twice in Virginia.
Turnout records could be set tonight in this race that's already seen more than a million ballots cast in early voting.
Democratic the whole way. I just don't want the Republicans to take over Virginia.
Glenn Youngkin, that's correct.
The hot-button issue of education driving folks to the polls in Old Dominion today. This Virginian says what happened in Loudoun County between parents and the school board there is why he's voting.
I think the Democratic Party is just totally off base, where they're saying that parents shouldn't have a voice in how their children are educated, and I think that's just totally ridiculous.
Republicans haven't won a statewide race in Virginia in over a dozen years. Congressman Rob Whitman.
I think we'll have a record turnout today, and I think the reason we'll have record turnout is because people are very motivated by the issues that are important across the Commonwealth.
Pundits say this race could be a litmus test for how next year's midterms will go. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
If Youngkin wins, this is an earthquake. If Youngkin almost wins, it's an interesting tremor, because this is the beginning of a tidal wave.
Polls open till 7 tonight in Virginia. In Washington, the progressive plan to force the president's social agenda has been derailed by none other than West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin.
I will not support the reconciliation legislation without knowing how the bill will impact our debt and our economy and our country.
The moderates slamming progressives for holding up infrastructure spending so they can get more on social welfare.
I am urging all of my colleagues in the House to vote and pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Holding that bill hostage is not going to work to get my support of what you want.
With the plan to move Manchin to the left derailing, some progressives now willing to seek common ground. Washington State Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal says if there's enough support in the Senate, the House will get a deal done.
We are ready, pending some final negotiations. We will be happy to vote both those bills. The president said he thinks he can get 51 votes for this bill. We are going to trust him.
Joe Manchin says the president's spending plan will increase inflation and sink the nation further into debt. RNC chairwoman Rona McDaniel says moderate Democrats are starting to understand what the GOP has known all along.
This was a really, really powerful moment. We know this bill's bad. Sounds like Joe Manchin does too. He just pumped the brakes on the whole Biden agenda.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says an infrastructure vote will likely happen this week, even as full progressive support remains unclear. President Biden heading home today following his meetings with world leaders in Europe the past 4 days. The president apologizing for his predecessor's policies when it comes to the environment.
I guess I shouldn't apologize, but I do apologize for the fact the United States, the last administration pulled out of the Paris Accord.
Mr. Biden also making news for appearing to doze off during the climate conference in Scotland. Media critic Joe Concha says, as expected, the mainstream media gave the president a pass on this one.
You replace Mr. Biden here and insert Donald Trump or anyone with an R next to their name. Then imagine what the media reaction would look like. The headline would be something like, Trump insults the world. Falls asleep during crucial climate conference. A chilling reminder of a president asleep at the wheel on the gravest threat of our lifetime.
A recent CBS News poll shows a majority of Americans think President Biden is not physically or mentally competent enough to run the country. The CDC expected to greenlight Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for kids today. Pediatrician Corey Cross says a lot of parents are questioning whether it's a good idea to be giving their five-year-old the shot.
For parents who tell me that they don't know the long-term risks of the vaccine, I would say they also don't know the long-term risks of COVID. Really have to weigh the risks and benefits.
If approved, shots could be going into arms later this week. The White House says it expects the childhood vaccination effort for some 28 million kids to be fully operational by early next week. Still to come this Tuesday, Election Day across New York and PA, will have a rundown on the biggest races, plus teacher strike in Scranton and school violence in Rochester.
Well, good afternoon. The lakes are kicking up, producing lake effect showers and snow flurries in parts of our area this afternoon, while other areas are seeing some sun. I'll be back to wrap things up in about 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Tuesday, November 2nd, Election Day. And the biggest race in the region won't likely be decided tonight. In Buffalo, Byron Brown seeking re-election in a write-in campaign against India Walton, who upset the incumbent in June's Democratic primary for mayor.
We'll have some determination as to where the race stands on election night. We'll know how many votes India Walton received on the Democratic line, and we'll know how many write-in votes there will be.
Erie County Republican Elections Commissioner Ralph Moore says write-in, absentee, and early voting ballots will still need to be counted, though, tonight, and that could take a while.
Who those write-in votes will be cast for, we'll still have to wait for the determination by the board, which will involve a hand count and a look at every single ballot which is cast in the city of Buffalo.
Byron Brown seeking an unprecedented fifth term as mayor of Buffalo. India Walton is a 39-year-old registered nurse and self-described socialist who could make history by becoming the Queen City's first female mayor. Polls open till 9 tonight in Buffalo. In Syracuse, another mayoral race up for grabs tonight.
Incumbent Mayor Ben Walsh will have to defeat Democrat Khalid Bey and Republican Janet Berman in order to secure a second term. Walsh made history back in 2017, becoming the first independent in the city's history to be elected mayor. Bey would become the first African-American mayor in the Salt City if he wins. If Berman comes out on top, she'd be the first Republican mayor in 20 years. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
The majority on the Monroe County, New York legislature is at stake on this election day for the first time in a long time. It's not clear which party will wind up in control.
This election series is about serving the constituents, the residents here. And that's why it's really important, because this is where it starts at the local level.
Monroe County GOP Chairman Bernie Yacovangelo says the legislature is productive with the current party split of 15 Republicans and 14 Democrats. But Democratic Chairman Zach King says he's hoping the balance of power will shift.
It'll be the first time in my lifetime that Democrats have controlled the county government. From the numbers that we saw from early voting and absentees, Democrats are outnumbering Republicans in certain places 2-3-1. Overall, we're seeing a great drive in Democratic enthusiasm.
If Democrats take control in Monroe County, they'll do so with Democratic County Executive Adam Bellow at the helm. In Pennsylvania, state Supreme Court seat up for grabs tonight. Republican Kevin Brobson and Democrat Maria McLaughlin vying for that seat. McLaughlin says her opponent lacks the credentials to sit on the highest court in the Commonwealth.
He's already acknowledged he's never done family law. He's never done criminal law. He's never been a prosecutor. These things are at the Supreme Court every day.
Kevin Brobson says he brings a unique perspective to the court, which is desperately needed.
I've spent a career, 13 years in private practice, nearly 12 years as a statewide trial and appellate court judge, handling cases that impact most Pennsylvanians as a Commonwealth Court judge. And the Supreme Court doesn't have that experience. And I would add that new experience, that new perspective, that fresh view to the Supreme Court, not duplicate the experience that's already there.
Right now, Democrats hold a 5-2 majority on the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, and the open seat is from the GOP, which means Republicans need to hold it or else Democrats will have a 6-1 advantage on the highest court in the Commonwealth. Things got heated at a school board meeting in Scranton last night as teachers in the Electric City plan to go on strike tomorrow after the district approved a budget that does not include a pay raise for them.
Those of us who are making $37,000 a year with a master's degree as teachers in the Scranton School District, it matters. But that's the problem, isn't it? You are making decisions for teachers and students you know nothing about.
This board cutting health care benefits mid-pandemic is heartless, and it's a first in school district history.
And that meeting went on for hours and hours last night in Scranton. Teachers have been without a contract there since 2017, and for the first time in over a decade, educators will go on strike starting tomorrow in Scranton. New York Attorney General Tish James pushing back against former Governor Andrew Cuomo's claims that she's biased.
This is nothing more than an attempt by the former governor to undermine and to politicize this report.
As the AG launches her own bid for governor, Cuomo's spokesman has said her investigation into claims of his sexual misconduct were, quote, politically motivated. Tish James dismissed the accusations, calling them a lame attempt at undermining the allegations brought against the former governor.
I believe the women, the 11 women, obviously told their truth, and we're going to stand by our report. It's not like I requested this investigation. Governor Cuomo then said, let's refer this matter over to Letitia James because I believe in her.
Andrew Cuomo was charged with forcible touching last week and is due in Albany criminal court this month. If convicted, he faces up to a year in prison. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio a step closer to announcing his bid for governor of New York. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
De Blasio filed paperwork with the State Board of Elections last week requesting the creation of the New Yorkers for a Fair Future Committee. So far, the Democratic primary includes Governor Hochul and Attorney General Letitia James. On the Republican side, Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin, former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, and Andrew Giuliani have officially launched campaigns. A Siena College poll finds Mayor de Blasio would rank at the bottom of a primary and is less popular than former Governor Andrew Cuomo and former President Donald Trump. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson says President Biden's infrastructure improvement plan, more bark than bite.
This is a turkey that is stuffed with all kinds of bad things. It's not the kind of turkey I'm looking for Thanksgiving. Let me put it that way.
Thompson says the bill underfunds rural broadband while opening the door to hiring an army of new IRS agents to go after farmers, families, and small businesses across the Commonwealth. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signing legislation Monday that extends paid family leave throughout the Empire State. Eligible workers can now take up to 12 weeks off at 67% of their pay to care for family members in times of need. The fatal stabbing of an 11-year-old boy by a 9-year-old over the weekend in Pennsylvania's Northern Tier, once again shining the spotlight on childhood violence. Area Superintendent Mike Gill thinks the pandemic has brought out the worst in some. Unfortunately,
it is tragic, tragic. There's not anybody that isn't a little bit more on edge because of the stresses that our society is facing. And I think it manifests in our classrooms a little bit more.
The deadly encounter happened over the weekend in Ridgebury, Pennsylvania, when two children got into a tug of war over a Nerf gun. The incident being investigated as a homicide. Violence at school, the focus of a superintendent's meeting in Rochester, New York today. The Flower City has seen a spike in violence at school. One of those schools, Franklin High.
Franklin is on fire, and we have to address the needs at Franklin immediately.
School board member Beatrice LeBron says today's meeting was called to investigate the root causes of school violence.
We had COVID and we're remote. And now we're asking all these kids to come back. They don't have the foundation of relationships, of having known each other, of being in the same space. And then you have gangs that have obviously increased over the pandemic.
Police officers now on duty outside a dozen Rochester high schools for the next month or so. New York State, the eighth safest state in the country to live in. Consumer Affairs recently ranked every single state based on things like violent crime, the number of law enforcement officers, and law enforcement spending. Pennsylvania came in at number 14 on that list. New Jersey ranked the safest state in these United States by Consumer Affairs. Let's pause for sports. your two-minute drill.
Yeah, the Chiefs are celebrating a 2017 victory against the New York Giants Monday Night Football in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes said they had too many turnovers. Got to do better.
I mean, we're still moving the ball and doing a lot of things great, but whenever you turn the ball over or get a penalty and get pushed back, that kind of ruins drives, but I think we've done a lot of great things.
Kansas City moves to 4-4. Giants fall to 2-6 on the year, but they had their chances, said Daniel Jones.
You know, I think we, like I said, we did a lot of good things, and I thought we, had an opportunity to win it there at the end, and we didn't finish, so. Certainly feels like a missed opportunity.
Big news out of the NFL. Titans superstar running back Derrick Henry's season may be over. Henry undergoing foot surgery today. The running back leads the league in yards, carries, and rushing touchdowns. The Titans signed 36-year-old Adrian Peterson as a replacement. Von Miller admits to being pretty surprised by his trade from the Denver Broncos to the Los Angeles Rams.
You know, everything is just still, you know, new, and, you know, it's hard to, you know, really put the emotions into words. You know, this is all I know. This is all I ever knew playing a pro sports here with the Denver Broncos.
The trade deadline is today. Steeler outside linebacker Melvin Ingram III being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs in exchange for a sixth round pick ahead of the trade deadline. In the NBA, Seth Curry led the shorthanded 76ers to a 113-103 win against the Portland Trailblazers. At Madison Square Garden, the Raptors overcome a 15-point deficit to beat the Knicks. 113-104, unacceptable, says Julius Randle.
Turnovers, they got a lot of threes. I don't know what they shot from the 3-point line, but it seemed like they kept hitting a lot of threes. And usually that's from the second quarter to the third quarter, and that's a quick way to get back into the game.
And Game 6 of the World Series is tonight in Houston. Atlanta leads that best of 7, 3-2. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, Decision Day in Old Dominion, Climate Conference in Scotland, and why do dogs tilt their heads?
As Fräulein Maria sang, nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Why is there something instead of nothing? That's one of those questions that haunts science, taking it beyond the what to the why. For a long time, the widely accepted answer that was given by astrophysicists, astronomers, and others is that the universe has always existed. One reason this so-called steady state theory was a favorite of materialists is because it sidestepped any need for a creator. However, in the 20th century, the collective evidence for a cosmic beginning became overwhelming, forcing scientists to accept that space, matter, energy, even time had a beginning. Ergo, these things are not eternal. The Big Bang Theory, which replaced the steady state theory, wasn't as much an explanation for how the universe came to be as it was a description of the immediate aftermath of a beginning. The initial first cause, or whatever it was that set off the Big Bang and provided the necessary fine-tuning necessary to produce a life-friendly universe, remained a mystery. Well, at least it was a mystery for those unwilling to accept God as the first cause. Writing in Scientific American this month, former Harvard astronomy chair Avi Loeb proposed that our universe may have been created by intelligent designers, just not God. What if, the Harvard scientists suggested, our universe was, quote, created in a laboratory of an advanced technological civilization? As a reminder, this is a Harvard scientist, not a late-night radio host. Loeb doesn't speculate on the identity of our universe's engineers or the location of the so-called laboratory where he or she works. But if this proposal sounds familiar, it's because it is. Basically, he's proposing a form of intelligent design, only with an infinite number of extra steps. See, a question that's often asked by children and atheists is, if God made the world, who made God? The answer, given from classical theists, is, well, nobody. God's self-existent and eternal, the very ground of being, who can cause the universe to exist. He himself requires no cause because he is, as Thomas Aquinas put it, the unmoved mover. The very existence of something implies the existence of an unmoved mover, an uncaused first cause. Because, as Fräulein Maria sang in The Sound of Music, nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. Well, Loeb's version of intelligent design fails to offer an answer to this basic question. If the universe were, in fact, cooked up through quantum tunneling in a cosmic laboratory by alien scientists, who made the alien scientist who made the universe? Loeb certainly tries to answer the question, suggesting that there could be countless baby universes, all engineered by advanced civilizations, which in turn create more life-sustaining universes. But these creators are not self-existing or eternal. The process, he writes, may proceed along Darwinian lines, ensuring a selection advantage for life-sustaining universes, since they can, in a matter of speaking, reproduce. In other words, what he's envisioning here is an infinite regress of universes and designers creating one another back into eternity. Now look, this fails Occam's razor on a cosmic scale. As Meyer concludes in his book, the God hypothesis is still the most scientifically reasonable explanation for the universe, one that does not, quote, unnecessarily multiply explanatory entities, end quote. While it's certainly an improvement that some modern astronomers and physicists are willing to consider intelligent design, given the choice between a transcendent self-existing God and an infinite number of eminent alien designers, or turtles, the answer is obvious. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, let's take it outside. Here's weatherman Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for this afternoon. Outside of lake effect areas, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a stray shower. But in areas east of Lake Erie in Ontario, in those higher elevations, showers of rain and snow flurries will fly, with high temperatures across the area mostly 40s, 30s in the highest elevations. Tonight and tomorrow, partly cloudy with a stray shower or a flurry, but lake effect activity will continue east and southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario, where there could be some brief, thin, slushy accumulations on grassy hilltops. Low tonight, upper 20s to the mid-30s, the high tomorrow, upper 30s to the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, November 2nd, it is Election Day. In the eyes of the political universe, squarely set on Old Dominion, Virginia picks a new governor today, and the stakes could not be any higher.
McAuliffe, Democrat. He's been in office before, so I've seen his track record.
Youngkin. I feel he's stronger. I think he's definitely the majority.
Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin vying for the state's top job. The GOP hasn't won a statewide race in Virginia in over a dozen years. Fox News reporter Griff Jenkins in Richmond this afternoon.
Let's be honest, anything short of a decisive win by McAuliffe, who a month ago had this in the bag, will be seen as a devastating blow to President Biden, as this is the first referendum test of his presidency here. Now, this race has come down to the wire between the former Democratic governor and the Republican newcomer and businessman Glenn Youngkin. He has done a very good job of making education a top priority here in the state.
That's Griff Jenkins reporting. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says education will be the reason he believes Glenn Youngkin will win tonight.
If Youngkin wins tonight, what we're going to look back on and say is that the key moment of this campaign was when Terry McAuliffe told the truth, when he said that he didn't think parents should be involved in deciding what their children are learning. But Glenn Youngkin, in the end today, I think that will be the key issue that people are going to be voting on in Virginia.
So last night, former President Donald Trump held a virtual campaign event for Youngkin. Polls open till 7 tonight in Virginia. There's also voting going on today for governor of New Jersey and for two House seats in Ohio and one House seat in Florida. Voters in Minneapolis today voting on whether to replace the city's police department with a new Department of Public Safety. The move sparked by George Floyd's murder at the hands of police last year.
I feel like clearly the system in place isn't working, and if it isn't working, we need to change it.
The newly proposed department would take a comprehensive public health approach to safety that could include police officers if necessary. Critics, though, say crime would only get worse under this plan.
Living in North Minneapolis, the gunshots are constant every single night. It's like a war zone.
A lot of officers in Minneapolis and other major cities across the country have quit over a lack of public support in their communities. As President Biden talked global warming overseas today, things are heating up back at home after West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin derailed the progressive plan for the president's domestic agenda.
Simply put, I will not support a bill that is this consequential without thoroughly understanding the impact that it'll have on our national debt, our economy, and most importantly, all of our American people.
As for the climate conference, it's wrapping up in Scotland. Correspondent Mark Phillips says it'll be remembered more for its ambitions than anything else.
The official soundtrack of this conference may be the Scottish Pipes, but the unofficial one is the sound of a ticking clock. Time is running out, the gathering of 120 world leaders was told, on efforts to avoid the worst catastrophes of climate change.
4 degrees, we say goodbye to whole cities.
The commitment to deeper carbon cuts this conference was supposed to produce hasn't happened.
That is Mark Phillips reporting. The world's biggest polluter, China, wasn't even at that climate conference in Scotland. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Jeffrey Rott from Buffalo. He's launched a website to help folks find jobs without having to get the jab. Share with our listeners your own experience with the vaccine mandate and I guess how it kind of gave birth to this new endeavor that you've launched, this new website.
Sure. It's quite a story. Well, thank you. I'll start a couple months ago. My employer announced that they would be creating a vaccine mandate. At first, I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I work 100% fully remote. We've been operating just fine without a company mandate for almost 2 years now. Plus, my employer is one of the nation's largest Catholic healthcare organizations, too. So surely I figured that I could count on getting a religious exemption if push came to shove.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so fast. The employees there, like me, began to be bombarded with emails on a daily basis that not only announced the new vaccine mandate, the upcoming deadline, what would happen to us if we didn't comply. And once we witnessed how they were also using the Pope's proclamation that the unvaccinated are unloving. It just came quickly apparent to all of us, me and thousands of my fellow coworkers, that they're going to choose to put the almighty dollar over and above the almighty himself. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I became personally faced with the prospect of losing my job as a national recruiting manager after 5 years there. And so as a Christian, a husband, a father of three, sole income provider for my family, I did what anyone in my position would do. I submitted my religious exemption request, turned to God in prayer, and asked for his guidance and help since, look, I had no idea. I mean, how am I going to keep a roof over my head?
Sure.
How am I going to put food on the table?
Yeah.
How am I going to pay the bills?
Yeah.
So just trusted him.
Jobsnotjabs.careers. Tell us about it and what does it do?
When all this came about and I decided to just do something to help other Americans in the same position as me, I looked at, God put me in all these various vocations over the past almost two decades in recruiting and staffing and marketing and sales. What can I do with that? So I created a job board. The job board, as you mentioned there, is called Jobs Not Jabs. It's at jobsnotjabs.careers. And it's very simple. I mean, it's very similar to Indeed and ZipRecruiter. Most people are familiar with those names. It's a job board for any and all Americans who want to work, but a job board specifically designed to connect employers who still believe in medical freedom with professionals who still believe in medical freedom.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Rott from Buffalo, the creator of jobsnotjabs.careers. And I like what Governor Ron DeSantis recently said. He said we've gone from 15 days to stopping the spread to 3 jabs to keep your job. How does this ultimately end? Because it's got to end.
What I see happening is more and more people waking up as it affects them personally on an individual level, a day-to-day basis, understanding the real dangers here. It's not that we're all anti-vax in general. It's we're anti-mandate.
Yeah.
I think as more people speak up and speak out, you're going to see more and more companies maybe backtrack.
Your response, Jeff, because I know there's a lot of folks out there who are saying that what you're doing is endangering public health. What's your response?
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you asked this question because this is one that's near and dear to my heart. And I obviously take it very seriously as a Christian. I've heard from family members even and friends alike that say people like me are dangerous. We're unloving. We're causing babies to get sick and die. I've even had my position on medical freedom used against me to claim that that's why I should now change my position on abortion.
Mm.
It's things like this. And again, I just reiterate, it's not that we're anti-vax. Most of my family and friends are vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm just anti-mandate. And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter who's right about the efficacy and safety of COVID vaccines. It's about whose right it is to tell another person that they must inject something into their body against their will or else. And that's where we got to draw the line.
And finally, Jeff, it's been great having you on the show. Just kind of walk us through the steps again. If someone's out there and they want a job without getting the jab, they can see you and they can get help. How would they do that?
So again, you want to go to jobsnotjabs.careers. If you're an employer, you can then create a free company profile and get a free job posting for 30 days. If you're a professional, you can create a free candidate profile or even upload your resume and then start searching and applying to jobs that interest you right away. We have jobs from here in New York, across the country, all the way to Alaska right now, across multiple industries. Get yourself off and running.
Jeffrey Rott from Buffalo, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Cold air traversing the relatively warm surface waters of Lake Erie in Ontario, generating some lake effect showers and flurries this afternoon, while other areas are seeing some sun. And that'll be the pattern really for the rest of the work week, heading into a weekend that looks still to be chilly, but dry and sunny for a change. In the meantime, for this afternoon, outside of lake effect areas, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a stray shower. But in areas east of Lake Erie in Ontario, in those higher elevations, showers of rain and snow flurries will fly, with high temperatures across the area mostly 40s, 30s in the highest elevations. Tonight and tomorrow, partly cloudy with a stray shower or a flurry, but lake effect activity will continue east and southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario, where there could be some brief, thin, slushy accumulations on grassy hilltops. Low tonight, upper 20s to the mid-30s. The high tomorrow, upper 30s to the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, a dog tilting its head is cute, but it also serves a purpose. Correspondent Michael Kastner.
A new study published last week in the journal Animal Cognition found that dogs tilted their heads when they heard something they recognized, like the name of a favorite toy. Not every dog is great at remembering names, however. Researchers found that dogs that could learn names of toys tilted their heads more often than those who can't. It's speculated that the head tilt is a reaction to that spark of memory.
Now you know. Thank you, Michael. Michael Kastner reporting. That's the world we live in this Tuesday. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.